Praise God. Listen, again, we're on a series called Grown Folks, and we've been talking about the three levels of spiritual maturity. We don't want to stay stuck, right? We want to grow up. We want to move on in the things of God. And so that's what we've been talking about over the last 13 weeks. So if you're just joining us, you want to go back and get the previous messages because we have been really laying the foundation. And so last week, we talked about how to change your mind, okay? And we talked about, based in Romans chapter 8, where the Bible talks about how a carnal mind can make you an enemy of God. And we begin to talk about a carnal mind, a fleshly mind, or a mind that has the wrong opinions, particularly the opinion about yourself, can cause you to become an enemy of God. You'll begin to work against God because your mind is set against him. Your mind is fleshly. You don't even see yourself spiritually. So how can you walk in the Spirit if you don't see yourself spiritually? You have yet to agree with the mind of God. So we talked about changing your mind so you don't have to be an enemy of God, because a shift in your thinking is the sign of spiritual maturity. I knew that my children were maturing and growing up from being adolescents to being young adults when they have a shift in their thinking, when they have the capacity to look at things from a different angle, when they have the capacity to process and do critical thinking. So just as that is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. God knows that we're ready to grow up when we have a shift in our thinking. So it's not until we're really ready to change our mind are we ready to go to the next level in God. And this is why the Bible talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. So transformation happens when you change your mind. There's a lot of people that get saved but never actually change because they've never actually changed their mind. So this is why the Bible says, be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. That word renewing refers to renovation. We'll get into that a little later in this part of the series, okay? So we talked about not just being renewed in your mind, but the Bible, there's a particular scripture we were reading last week or 2 weeks ago where we were talking about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And we talked about how you can have a mind spirit. Your mind has a particular spirit on it, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the spirit of God, which we call the mind of Christ. You can have a mind spirit that was inherited from previous generations. You can have a spirit on your mind that is working against God's plan for your life. So you have to be renewed in the spirit that's on your mind. Amen. And so we want to be delivered from every mind spirit that we have that is contrary to the plan of God, contrary to the purposes of God, and most importantly, contrary to the word of God. Amen. So let's just lay our hands on our mind right now. We rebuke every mind spirit that is contrary to the plan, purposes, and word of God. Amen. All right. So we speak to that mind. So when we talked about when you're ready for real change, it's time to go inside. Somebody say it's time to go inside. When you're ready for real change, it's time to go inside. You know, some people live their whole life and never actually change their mind. They never actually experience real transformation. Amen. And I was committed in my heart not to stay stuck in my previous behavior, not to stay stuck in my previous thinking. I had to change and shift the way that I process. And I did this with the help of the Holy Spirit. And this is what spiritual maturity is all about. Okay. Listen, we're going to go back to one of our foundational scriptures to kick off this next section as we talk about growing up into being spiritual young men. Okay. Let's look here in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 12. We've got some scripture to go through. So I want you to rock with me. Take your Bible, look at your notes, take notes, go back and study this. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 12. I'm going to begin to read. It says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Verse 13 says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And it says, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Let's read that one more time. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. Okay, so what is it talking about here? We're talking about children, we're talking about fathers, and we're talking about young men. And we begin to, in the beginning of this series, talk about the three different levels of spiritual maturity, which are children, young men and fathers. Children are dealing with their sins being forgiven. Young men are dealing with overcoming the wicked one. And fathers know him who is from the beginning, intimate knowledge of God. So there are three different levels of spiritual maturity. And the Apostle John writes and says, these three different levels of spiritual maturity have three different focuses. Children, sins being forgiven. Young men, overcoming the wicked one. Fathers, you intimately know God, or the one who is from the beginning, the great I am. Amen. And so we've been dealing with children over the last 12 weeks. And last week we began to talk about going inside. And we talked about the connection between the spirit, soul, and body, and the different levels of the temple. So this is what it means when we say going inside. So again, if you haven't been here, go back and say, don't say, oh, I don't understand what he's talking about. Go back and hear the previous messages, and we'll touch on it again tonight, okay? So this is our foundational text. So as we're talking about really changing our mind, really growing up, going to the next level, and having a shift in our thinking, or changing our RAS, our reticular activating system, which is the scientific name for really how to reset your meditation, this is talking about growing up, becoming young men. That's the next level we're trying to go to. And what does it say young men work on? Overcoming the wicked one, all right? So as a spiritual babe, we were just coming to the recognition that our sins are forgiven. We were learning just how a natural babe or a natural baby has to learn to walk, has to learn how to eat, has to learn what's dangerous, has to learn what to stop doing. You have to tell your newborn baby or your, you know, toddler, you have to tell them no a lot because they don't know what's best for them. Well, just like it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. In the spirit realm, we were just learning how to walk. What do you mean? Well, I'm talking about walking in the spirit. We had to learn how to walk in the newness of life. We had to learn how to restrain our feet or keep our feet from the evil way or from running to evil, right? The Bible says God hates feet that are swift to run to evil. So run to evil, run into the club, run into the bar, run into her house, run into his house, right? Run in to go see some foolishness. You know what I mean? Things that keep you bound, right? We have to learn how to keep our feet from going to atmospheres that are contrary to what we say we want to do. We want to please God. We want to honor God, but sometimes our feet will keep us going places that we shouldn't go. So you have to learn how to walk in the spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So as babes in Christ, that's what we're focused on, learning how to walk, right? So, but when you're ready to enter spiritual manhood, when you're ready to become a young man, that second level of spiritual maturity, it's time to overcome. So you have to overcome, right? Get victory, not continue to wrestle with, but get victory over the things that you were dealing with when you were still in the outer court, still dealing with your flesh, okay? So you have to go inside. If you look at my pick here that I have, which is dealing with the tabernacle, right? We were dealing with the tabernacle and we were talking about the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies and its relation to our spiritual development, right? And so when we were children in the Lord, we were still in the outer court, and the only thing in the outer court are things to deal with the flesh. So if you look here on the picture, you'll see the altar, the bronze altar, and right behind that you'll see the lavir, which is just before you enter into the holy place. So the bronze altar was where they would lay all of the sacrifices, the flesh, right? And then you would wash your feet or wash your hands and your feet before you go in, which is the lavir, which deals with laying down our flesh, laying down our filthy behavior, laying down our old habits, right? And then that baptism, that washing. So that's what happens when you get saved, right? When you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you get baptized, and you lay that flesh on the altar. And that's where the scripture says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So we're out there dealing with the flesh, okay? So you present your body as a living sacrifice. But the next level means you're no longer outside in the outer court. It's time to go what? Inside. Why do you want to go inside? Well, you remember in Matthew 23, 26, let's turn there real quick. Remember we were talking about when we were dealing with the law of Christ and the law of the Spirit versus the law of Moses, and the difference is the law of Moses wanted to clean the outside. But Jesus said in Matthew 23 and 26, he was talking to the Pharisees. He says, you blind Pharisees, first cleanse what? The inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of of them may be clean also. That was the problem with the Pharisees, is they had outward holiness, but no inward change. He says, if you want real change, you got to change the inside. So this is when I talk about going inside, not only inside into the holy place, but also inside, you know, in the soulish realm. And so we'll deal with that tonight. Okay. So, so first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean also. So if we deal with the outside will be clean. The problem is we have a lot of people that just deal with the outside, which are the people who have what the Bible calls a form of godliness, but deny his power. The power for what? Real internal transformation. So I won't have to pretend with my behavior on the outside if it's for real on the inside. Amen. Isn't that what the Bible talks about with the law of Christ and the law of the Spirit? It allowed for inward change. Remember when Jesus began to lay out what his law is, he says the law of Moses in Matthew chapter 5, just write it down in your notes. He would say, you have heard in the law that it says that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you look at a woman and lust after your heart, lust after her in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Well, what was he saying? He's saying, I'm not just looking at whether you actually did it. I'm looking at what's on the inside that caused you to do it. All right. So the law of Christ, Jesus is saying, it's no longer acceptable for outward performance. Now I want real change, and I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit and my word to help you do it. Okay. So if we're going to the next level, if we're talking about overcoming, we got to start cleaning the inside of the cup, right? Okay. All right. So one of the things we also talked about was to become a young man in, as it relates to spiritual development and spiritual maturity. And when I say young man, again, as we said in the beginning of this series, this is genderless, right? This is just talking about spiritual young men. This includes men and women, praise God. But to become a spiritual young man, you have to put certain things away. Remember, we said the outer court is like the children's playground. But well, you know, you remember when you used to have recess? I kind of miss recess. Recess was one of my favorite subjects. And so, but when recess was over, what'd you have to do? You had to go put the jump ropes away. You had to go put the ball away. You had to line up, right? And they'd make you wash your hands before you come inside and everything like that. Because, you know, we was filthy little kids. You know, we played in dirt and mud and all that type thing, right? And, you know, you come home with a ringworm because you've been in the sand and touching somebody's head and had lice or whatever. You know, I never had lice, but I used to see it. You know, I lived in Claremont, so kids had lice. So, you know, I don't understand. So, but my point is that we had to clean up. We had to wash our hands before we came inside. Even in elementary school, did you catch that? We had to wash our hands before we came inside. We had to put all of our playthings away. And that's the same thing in the spirit realm. The scripture says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 11, we touched on this, but let's review it because it connects to where we're going. Believe me, we going somewhere. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 11, if you turn there in your Bible, highlight it in your Bible, and you can write it in your notes. It says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put away childish things. So in order to grow up, in order to mature, in order to go to the next level, in order to have a more intimate relationship with God, there's some things you're going to have to put away because God doesn't tolerate certain things. So if you're going to get closer to him, you got to get rid of some stuff because he's a consuming fire. So that stuff will start to burn up as you press closer to him. You follow with me? So this scripture says you have to put those things away. In other words, we can't continue to do the same thing and expect to go to a different level or get different results. If you're doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. If you want different results, then you got to do something different. It's time to put things away. If you want change, then you got to change what you're doing. Praise God. All right. So these are the things that we got to put away to grow up spiritually. This scripture actually lists three things. If you'll look at my slide here, it says, here's some of the childish things that are listed in that scripture that we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It says, I spoke as a child. So childish speaking. It says, I understood as a child and I thought as a child. So we have childish thoughts and childish understanding. So these are three childish things listed in that scripture that have to be put away before you can become a man or go to the next level. Praise the Lord. So if we pay close attention to these three things: childish speaking, childish thoughts, and childish understanding. If you pay close attention to these three things, all these things listed emanate from the inside of us. All three things, childish speaking, thoughts, and understanding, according to Scripture, these three things emanate from the inside of us. Let's look at a few. Matthew chapter 12, 34. Write these down. Write these down in your notes. Always take notes. Go back and read it. Don't ever say, I don't know what to read when I'm studying the Bible. Study what I'm already preaching. Praise God. All right. Matthew chapter 12, 34 says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Read this with me. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Where does the mouth speak from? The heart. It speaks from the heart. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Are you with me? So when I speak, whatever I'm speaking is coming from my heart. When people say, oh, I didn't mean to do that. Well, you couldn't do it unless it was in your heart. All right. So this is one of those childish speakings. It emanates from the inside. We've been talking about going inside, right? Okay. And then what else? We talked about thoughts, right? Let's look at a scripture on thoughts. Mark 7:21. I'm giving you scriptural backing to establish what I'm saying as far as these three things coming from the inside. Mark 7:21 says, for from within, where? From within, out of the what? Heart of men proceed what? Evil thoughts. Out of the heart of men, from within proceed evil thoughts. What else comes from there? Adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Are you with me? So if you're doing any of these things, the issue isn't on the outside. It just manifested on the outside. But the root of it came from the inside. It came from the heart. So people that are committing adultery, people that are committing fornication, yeah, there are circumstances and all that. But guess what? The Bible says you're going to have to own your stuff that came from inside of you. When it's thefts and all these different things, I know we got some looting and different things going on. Don't blame nobody else. That came from inside you. That was always there. It just presented an opportunity and you did it. You did what was in you. Come on, let's own this. Stop blaming everybody else for everything you're doing and start looking in the mirror so you can have real change. Amen. Let's look at one other one. We said childish understanding. This is one of the other childish things that was listed that needs to be put away in order to become a young man. Proverbs 3:5. You all know this scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your what? Heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. So have you noticed that all of these speak to the heart of a man? All of these speak to from within. So of these three things that need to be put away, they all emanate from the inside, which gives us further foundational doctrine to let us know that real change, we got to go what? Inside. We got to go inside. We got to deal with the real you. Amen. So, and even Proverbs 2:2 says that we apply our heart to understanding. So the way we understand is the result of things that are on the inside. So when we misunderstand, oftentimes it's not mishearing, it's misprocessing, or we misinterpret information because we have bad understanding, and bad understanding oftentimes comes from a certain way of life or a certain way that you grew up. So when people constantly misunderstand, misprocess, mishear, misinterpret body language, all those things, a lot of times that comes from things that we've gone through. Trust me, rock with your boy. We're going somewhere, okay? So we have to apply our heart to understanding. So to become a young man in the spirit, according to these three scriptures, not only do we have to deal with the inside, but we have to deal with our heart. It's time for you to deal with your heart. All three of these scriptures spoke to the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Then we said, from the heart, evil thoughts come. Then we says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, right? All of them have to do with your heart. So let's look at this word heart in the Greek. I'll put the slide up here. This word heart is cardia in the Greek, which is where we get the word cardiac, okay? And then it says the prolonged form of from a primary car, but then it says the heart. And then notice it says here, figuratively, the thoughts or feelings, referring to the mind. Also, by analogy, what does it say? The middle. The analogy is the middle. Okay, so this word heart is not just talking about the physical heart. This is talking about your feelings, your mind, your thoughts, or the middle of you, the core of who you are. So let me introduce you right now to your heart. Let me introduce you to your heart. If you go to my next slide here, mankind is a three-part being. Okay, you have man, right? So if you've ever wondered about the triuneness of God, we're made in his likeness and image. So how can God be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and still be one? Well, we're mankind, we have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit, and all of them are us. Did you catch that? So the same oneness that we have, and yet we're three-part beings, the same oneness that God is, and yet he's a three-part being Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is how we're made in his likeness, okay? So your body is your world consciousness. It's how you interact with the world. It's how we recognize one another. So when I see my wife, I see her body, and I recognize that as my wife, you know? And so I know how she looks, right? And it's really just her outer shell. It's not the real her. I recognize her by her body. But then we also have also your spirit. Your spirit is your God consciousness. It's how God interacts with us, right? God does not deal with our flesh. He does not deal with our soul. He deals with our spirit. He knows us by the spirit. This is why it says, know no man after the flesh. This is why it says, those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. This is why no man can look at God and live, because God is a spirit. So listen, if you better be ready to be a spirit if you see God. You got it? Okay? Because God is only going to deal with your spirit. He does not want to talk to your flesh. Okay? He will not deal with your flesh because your flesh is sinful. It's your world consciousness. So your body is your world consciousness. Your spirit is your God consciousness. You are aware of God and interact with God through that. You interact with the world through your body, right? Touch, taste, smell, feelings, right? And that's all also where your fleshly appetites, sin, this is where you manifest your stuff, okay? Right? And then that one in the middle, remember, cardia means thoughts, feelings, or it says by analogy, the middle. This is your soul. This is your self-consciousness. All right, put the picture back up. Put the soul up. You see the soul? This is your self-consciousness, your cardia, the middle. Now you see why it's called the middle, because it's in between, right? It's the core of who you are. It is the seat of the personality. It's the real you. You got the picture up? I just want to talk to you while it's up. It's the real you. It's where the will, your intellect, and your emotions are seated. It's in the soulless realm. This is the real you. This is the seat of your personality, right? So I recognize my wife by her body, but I know my wife by her soul. That's how I know her. I know her personality. I know her way. I know her mannerisms, right? I know when she got an attitude and she's saying nothing's wrong, right? I know, you know what I'm saying, when she's frustrated. I know when she's happy. I know when she's got the twinkle in her eye. You know, I know because I know my wife, you know, and vice versa. She knows me, right? This is the soul, okay? So when you have a soul tie or a soul mate, that's what you're dealing with. This is what soul music. It resonates with something in my soul, my emotions, right? This is why certain music stirs something up in your spirit or in your soulish man, right? Right? So this is a soul. You can also have, are you ready for this? Soul stirring messages and preaching. So they trigger your emotions. So some people get really excited and stuff because they're preaching a soulish message instead of one that really impacts your spirit, man. So we want to preach. We have to relate to the soul when we're preaching, right? So a preacher needs to know how to relate to the soul, but minister to your spirit. But sometimes you can go to places and you've got a soul-stirring message, but yet your spirit man is still starving because they didn't really give you any substance. They just manipulated your emotions and got you to give big offerings. And you cried, but you went home to say. But we'll get back to this. Okay, so what are we talking about? So this soul here, can you put my picture up one more time? All right, okay, so put the soul back up. So this is the greatest place of deliverance. This is where real deliverance happens, is in the soul. So when we talk about dealing with the core of who you are, when we talk about dealing with your heart, the understanding, how you speak, how you understand, putting those things away, we got to go inside to the soul. We've been dealing with the body, but now we got to go back in, deal with the soul, right? Now, why? Why do we have, this is why deliverance happens. Catch this, because this is the place where your will is. What is will? This is your volition, what you want to do, your motivations, your intent resides in your soul. So God will not violate your will. So because your will is in your soul, stay with me, you must participate in your deliverance. As we said last week, God won't make you somebody you don't want to be. Even if it's what he intended for you, you have to receive his invitation to become who he's called you to be. Y'all ready to go there? All right, let's go. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now, I introduced you to the middle, your middleman, right? The body, the soul, and the spirit, right? And this is the cardia, the heart, and this is where we have to put childish things away. This is when we go and deal inside, all right? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. All right, now read this with me. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Notice it says completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may your whole spirit, whole soul, and whole body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a powerful, powerful scripture. And if you pay attention, it's saying something to you. It's letting you know that, first of all, you have a spirit, you have a soul, you have a body. So what I just showed you as picture form is backed up doctrinally in scripture, because all doctrine comes from what? The word of God. I'm not making this up. This didn't come from a philosophy or a psychology book. It's right here in your word. You have a spirit, you have a soul, you have a body. But what else does it say? It says that each of these three entities have their own level of sanctification. Your spirit, your soul, and your body has their own level of sanctification. The title of this message is The Three Sanctifications. It says, may the Lord himself sanctify you completely, so you can have partial sanctification. And your whole spirit, your whole soul, so you can have parts of your soul that are sanctified and parts that are not. Are you catching this? You can have some things that are under the blood and some things that are not. But if we're going to talk about becoming young men and overcoming the wicked one, actually getting victory where we're not still wrestling, but where we have really planted a flag and God says, I have overcome this. This is under my feet finally, once and for all, and keep the victory. You have got to deal, come on, with the sanctification on the inside. And so it says you have to preserve this sanctification, because once you get delivered, that thing will try to come back and you have to keep it under your feet. I know there's things that I got delivered from and those things will try to come back and say, nope, I have victory. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. He always causes me to triumph. It's under my feet and I will not be entangled in that yoke of bondage again. Amen. So you have three levels of sanctification. Now, I dropped something on you the other week where I believe it was in Philippians, and we were talking about, it talks about working out our salvation or working our salvation. So this scripture says we have three levels of sanctification. I want you to catch this. I'm going to drop something on you. Sanctify completely. Here's what I want you to catch. These sanctifications happen at different times and different ways, right? So the first one, your spirit, as we talked about last week, that salvation is one. Your soul, the salvation of your soul, is worked. Are you catching this? And your body, that salvation waits. Let me say it to you again. Your spirit, the salvation of your spirit is one. The salvation of your soul is worked. The salvation of your body is waiting. It's pending right now. Okay. Now I'm going to give you some scriptures to back this up. You already know I am. Okay. But I want you to understand this about as it relates to your sanctification. And once you understand this, catch this, you're going to start to be less frustrated with some of your mistakes. And for some of you who have been very frustrated, you're very serious about things with God, you've been frustrated because things are not the way you want them, or you're still battling with certain things. And then some of you who kept giving yourself a pass and ain't been doing no real work, I'm going to call you out. Let this word go on and touch you and tap you on your shoulder real quick too. Okay. All right. So the salvation of your spirit is one. Let's talk about that. John 3:6 gives us an indication. Okay. Just some scriptural backing for the statements that I made. John 3:6-8. Remember, Nicodemus comes to Jesus, says, how can a man be born again? Does he crawl back into his mother's womb? And Jesus says, no, you don't crawl back into your mother's womb. I'm not talking about the being born again of the flesh. Look what it says here in John 3:6. He says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from, tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is what? Born of the spirit. In other words, wind blows, you don't see wind, you just see its effects, right? You just see, unfortunately we have all these fires going on, but the fires are made more deadly by the wind, right? You can't see the wind, you just see its effects. You know, when it blows windy out here in the Inland Empire and your trash can's all over the place, you didn't see the wind. All you saw was that trash can move from one place to another. You saw that tree that was standing up fall down. Well, God is saying your salvation of your spirit, you didn't see it happen. You just saw yourself move from one place to another. You saw yourself shift in your attitude. You saw yourself, come on, shift in your thinking, right? You're born again. It's real. It happened. But that you didn't have to work for that salvation. Jesus won that salvation on the cross. When he died on the cross, you couldn't. That's that salvation you got through grace, right? You didn't have to earn it. No man can boast. You know, you just woke up. He did it. You recognize it, and you received it by faith, right? That is the salvation of your spirit. Okay. Now let's look at the body. Okay, I hope that made sense. I'm kind of giving you the cliff notes here. I can do a whole teaching just on that, but we don't have that much time. I got about 13 minutes, all right? Romans chapter 8, verse number 23. Let's talk about the redemption of the body. It says, not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, here's the part I want you to catch. Read this closely. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Let me say it again. We ourselves, plural, groan within ourselves. What do you think it's talking about? Spirit, soul, and body. Those inner men. We ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Why? Because your flesh man, which was born in sin, right? Born in sin, your spirit got born again, but your flesh is still fleshly, which is why Paul called it the body of sin. It's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2 says, we have a tent, but we're going to get a building. So this body is a tent. It's temporary. I'm just inside it. It's my earth suit. It still has all of its weaknesses, all of its desires, all of its appetites. It's not saved. It will be saved when I get the new redeemed body that Adam and Eve lost in the garden. We'll be clothed and not be found naked. They took their clothes off, which is why they saw that they were naked. All right. So they lost their building and ended up with a tent. You and I are in the tent right now. We were born in this tent, but when someone passes on, they get out of this tent and they go to heaven. And at the redemption of the body, they'll get a body that will no longer have cancer. It will no longer have sickness, no longer have weakness, and no longer have the lusts of the flesh. So we're waiting on that salvation. Are you with me? So the spirit, that was won for us. The body we're waiting on, which is why all throughout the scripture, it tells us to crucify the flesh, to put the flesh under. It's the reason we need to fast, is to keep the flesh docile and submit it to the word of God, to follow the spirit and not lead the spirit. Are you with me? So we're waiting on that redemption. Okay. And then lastly, the soul, which we said is works. Look at this. James 1:21, it tells us how to work it. James 1:21, it says, therefore lay aside all what? Filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, or the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Well, if my soul's already saved, why do I have to be able? No, he's saying to save the soul, the word has to be implanted. The word has to be engrafted, right? I, by an act of my will, must hear the word that the pastor is preaching, not dodge it, not quit it, let it come on inside and sit there and replace the truth that I previously had there. Are you with me? That's the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So if you sit under it, it has the possibility, it has the power, it has the nourishment that you need to really, really change. But the soul, you have to do something. You have to participate in that. Let's go to one more. Let me help you out. 1 Peter 1:9. 1 Peter 1:9. It talks about our faith, and this is what Peter was talking about. He was talking about, you know, using your faith for the appropriate thing. But look at what he says here. When we receive the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. The end of your faith, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I'm just giving you that last part of the passage, but I want you to catch what it's saying. You and I, we all believe in faith. We all have faith. We're all growing our faith, right? We're going from faith to faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. And it says, so my faith can grow by hearing the word of God. It'll increase by hearing the word of God. This is why the disciples said, Lord, I believe, but, you know, help my unbelief. Or they also talked about, you know, Lord, increase my faith. Right. So it says, when my faith is full grown, then my soul will be saved. So catch this key point here. The salvation of your soul is a faith fight. You use faith to receive Jesus Christ, but that your spirit being born again was already won. The body we're waiting on. We're groaning within ourselves. But when it comes to the soul, put the key point back up. The salvation of your soul is a faith fight, family. You're going to have to use your faith to have your soul saved. You're going to have to hear that word, increase your faith. Why? Because here, catch this, you need your faith to fix your soul. Why do I need faith to fix my soul? Because it's going to take faith to go back and open old doors to deal with my dysfunction. It's going to take faith to put pressure on my personality that the word can bring, so I can't constantly blow up and deal with that anger. I can't constantly say, well, they made me mad and you brought out the old me and I keep blaming everybody else for stuff I'm doing. No outbursts of wrath, adulteries, all those different things, lewdness, debauchery, lust, that comes from within. Ain't nobody making you do that. That's you. That's you, fam. And you got to use your faith to say, you know what? I'm about to get power over my attitude, power over my anger, power over my inner thoughts that I didn't say out loud, but I'm thinking it, and God's going to judge my heart anyway. Right? We going to be judged for thoughts? Come on, fam. Right? You're going to need your faith to go deal with that. Are you with me? Because listen, when we start talking about becoming a young man and overcoming the enemy, my whole personality is about to be put under pressure. And it's going to take faith to sit there and not run out every time somebody calls me on my stuff. It takes faith to sit under a word and teaching and counsel, come on, and correction, come on, and rebuke and challenge. Right? To sit there and not run and just escape so I can feel okay with where I already am. This is why you should never look for a church that fits your personality. I'm looking for a church that fits my personality. Why in the world would you look for a church that fits your personality? That means I'm looking for a church where I don't have to change. I'm looking for a church that's not going to challenge me. I'm looking for a pastor who's going to pat me on my back and tell me I'm going to be all right and God's going to do it anyhow. It's your season. It's your miracle. It's your breakthrough all the time. It can't always be a season because there's a season to be quiet. There's a season to talk, a season to war, right? A season for peace, right? A season to gather stones, a season to cast them away, a season to plant, a season to pluck up. Listen, there's all different kinds of season. It can't always be a season of getting. That's still outside. That's preschool stuff. You follow what I'm saying? That's playtime, right? Those are nursery rhymes, right? And if you're ready for real change, you may have to go to a church that pressures you into change, where everybody's changing. Everybody looking at you funny because you ain't got your stuff together. You're not real. Come on, you got a varsity jacket on, but you ain't on the varsity team. You feel me? And this is why it takes faith. You got to walk through old doors, all right? Because it takes faith and courage to hear the truth and not dodge it and ignore it. You shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? It'll set you free. Are we in the house? I'm almost where I need to be. Look, catch this. And this is why, because it takes faith to get that soul saved. To the end of my faith is the salvation of my soul. And now the scripture sounds different. Can I just give it to you? It's not on my notes, but write it down. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Because you can use your faith to get jeeps and cars and houses and clothes and, right? You can use your faith. You gain the world, but you never use it to fix your stuff. And that's what we have a lot, and it's particularly in certain denominations where they use a lot of faith to get stuff, but they're the most arrogant, prideful, mean, nasty-hearted people you ever want to meet, because you can misuse your faith. You can use it for stuff and not for your soul. The purpose of it is to, come on, save your soul. Are you with me? All right, let's keep going. And this is why everyone who believes in God hasn't necessarily become a son of God. Can I say that? I'm going to say it because the Bible says it. How about that? All right, John chapter 1, verse number 11. John chapter 1, verse number 11. Oh, we got to move it. We're almost out of time, y'all. All right. Look at what it says about Jesus, all right? It says, he came into his own. This is talking about Jesus. He came into his own, and his own received him not, right? Because he came to the Jews rejected him. But he says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. That word sons is the Greek word technon, which refers to a male child or a child of God, okay? And there are different levels of sons in the scripture, right? There's huios, technon, right? So the huios is dealing with the grown son or the adopted son, right? So Jesus, when God came and said, after he was baptized, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, he was referring to a grown son, right? An adopted son, because there is what in the Hebrew culture, what is called the process of adoption, which is why the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of adoption, right? So you could be a natural son, but you had to be adopted by your father because you took on your father's business, his nature, and his characters. So he's like, okay, you're not just my son because you're born of me. You're my son because you've taken on my nature and you've taken on my family business, which is why Jesus said, I must be about my father's business. Right. And notice when he said that at 12 years old, which is the bar mitzvah, when he was in the temple and they were like looking for him, he said, hey, I must be about my father's business. So as soon as he turned 12, he said, listen, it's time. It's time. Are y'all catching this? All right. I hope I'm not moving too fast. All right. So you can be, check this out. You can be born again, but it doesn't mean you've grown up into being a son. It says he gave you the right. Your Bible may say the right. This scripture says the power. Let's look at the power to become a son of God. Look at this. It's the Greek word. What kind of power? Not dunamis power, which is the power of the Holy Ghost. It's exousia. Exousia power. Now, why is this exciting? This is amazing. He says, okay, so you can believe, he's saying, you can receive me. You can say that I'm Lord. You can invite me into your heart. And yes, you'll be a child of God. But to become this son of God, I have to give you power. I'm not going to give you dunamis power. I'm going to give you exousia power. Exousia power, check this out, has to do with competency, your capacity, your freedom, right? And those of you who've been with me for a while, it refers to delegated influence. But check it out. You notice how it says magistrates and all that? Because exousia power, look at me in my eyes, look at me. Exousia power is the power to choose. It's mental power. It has to do with your mind. It's the place of decisions. It's the spirits. It's the same word when it says principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Powers in that one, referring to demonic forces, is referring to those demonic spirits that sit in gate systems or places of decision, right? In civil authorities, the White House, the City Hall, right? In boardrooms, right? And then you also have your personal governmental system, which is your mind. So he says, you can receive me as Lord and Savior, but you have to choose to become a son. You have to choose to become a young man. You have to choose to take on my nature. So yeah, you can be born of me, but listen, it doesn't mean you have the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, come on now. It doesn't mean you have my personality. Yeah, you can go to heaven, but you may not look like me. Oh, I'm almost out of time here, y'all. Can I give this to you? So catch this. You have to exercise your right to grow up. Oh, hold on. It's not, you're not waiting on the Lord. You're not waiting on the Lord. I'm asking him to take this from me. You're waiting for deliverance to bump you on your head, family. But it says you got to exercise. I gave you the right. I gave you the power to become a son of God. Catch this. Can I get 2 more minutes? You got to exercise your right to grow up. So if you want to come inside, if you want to deal with that man in the middle, if you want to deal with your stuff, you have to choose to do it. Again, this goes back to why? Because it's your will. God's not going to violate your will. He does not control us. You have to participate in the deliverance of your soul. Your spirit, man, that's one. Your body, we waiting. We're pending, right? We groaning within ourselves, waiting for the redemption of the body. But catch this. But when it comes to that soul, you got to choose to do it. You got to exercise your right. You got to use your power. You have had the power to come inside the whole time. You've had the right and the choice to do it the whole time. Look at this. This is why we have to go inside to be a son. Catch this. Notice we talked about your body is the temple. I want you to look at this next slide here. I found one on a website. I always give courtesy because I don't be using folks' stuff and not give them credit, right? I didn't draw this, praise the Lord. Somebody gonna draw my stuff for me one day, amen. Rise up and come forth, all right? Look at this pic of the body. Look at the connection. Know you, 1 Corinthians says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Look at the connection here. You have the body, outer court, soul, inner court, spirit, holy of holies. This is what I've been telling you the whole time. Right? So I just gave another graph to kind of show it. So this is what we mean. If we're going to deal with the soul, we got to go to the inner court inside, because that's where thoughts, speaking, come on, understanding, personality. So when you meet Christians that say they're saved, but still act a fool, and you wouldn't know unless it was on their bio on Instagram that they were saved, it's because they've never gone inside. They still out there in the outer court playing recess. Using the altar as a slide instead of an altar to burn flesh. Right? They still playing, right? So let's look at this holy place rule here, right quick here, and then I'm gonna shut it down. I got a few seconds here. Let's look at the holy place. So we know the soul is the holy place, the inner court. This is what's on the inside. This is what we were dealing with last week, right? All right. So here is where we work the salvation. This is where sanctification happens, and God has given us symbols in the inner court to show us what we need to do. Here's the last point I have for you. Catch this. Children focus on what they're doing. Young men focus on why they're doing it. When you were a child in the outer court, you were dealing with your flesh. Oh, this is what I'm doing. Lust, fornication, lewdness, right? All these different things. That was what you're doing. But once I go inside, I'm now finding out why I'm doing it. The outer court is what? The inner court is why. So you've been battling this same thing in your flesh that's waiting to be redeemed, right? But if you deal with why you're doing it, you will have control over the body, because the body is only doing what's on the inside. So if we go in and clean the inside of the cup, we start dealing with why. You can't overcome until you deal with your why. And this is when we start getting into strongholds. Yes, I've been battling pornography, or yes, I've been battling adultery, or yes, I've been battling drinking, or I've been dealing with this anger, right? I've been learning to restrain myself from the anger, but if I don't go deal as a young man to overcome and go to the next level, I got to deal with, why am I angry? Why am I bitter? If I let the word go in and deal with my why, I will overcome and I will have victory, because I started pulling stuff down. We're going to deal with that next week. I'm out of time.
God bless you. This is Pastor Jaron Christopher O'Neill. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I trust that this message has touched your heart and reached you at your point of need. I pray that God will continue to minister to you as you meditate on this word. Remember, you can build your faith by hearing in repetition. But right now, I'd like to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. please repeat this prayer after me with all the faith you have in your heart. Let's begin. Dear Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I realize I have sinned and I cannot save myself. So I put my faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe he died on the cross for me, and the blood he shed washed away my sins. I believe he rose from the dead and that he's coming back again. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior, and I make a commitment to live for you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10, you are saved by confession of your faith. So now it's time for you to get planted in a church home where you can continue to grow. So I would like to invite you to worship with us at Fountain of Love Christian Center every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. To connect with us, please visit us at www.allinthefountain.com. And to connect with me and get more powerful messages, please visit me at www.jarronceoneal.com. That's JarronceOneal.com. Listen, I look forward to seeing you soon. But until then, remember this, everything you need is in the fountain.